Right, welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. So in this show, we're going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading it. Today's Friday, March 31st, last day of the month, last day of the quarter, and we'll see what happens here because yesterday the stock market finished strong, but today the Fed's favorite inflation gauge is out, the core PCE. So how will the markets react? And more importantly, how are we trading these markets? By the way, if this is your first time here, I'm Marcus Hardcutter. This super smart guy over there is my head coach, Mark Hodge. And we're real traders who trade live accounts. So therefore, we have a lot of trading experience and we're showing you how we trade these crazy markets. So trust me, we know our stuff and we're not afraid to tell you like it is. So if you're here looking for some honest insights into the fascinating world of trading, you are in the right place. All right. Got to talk about today and what happened, the PCE report. Where do we start, Mark?
Well, Marcus, like you said at the beginning, end of the quarter, end of the month, end of the week, just in case you didn't know it. And it's been a pretty interesting week. It looks like right now the S&P is trading at highs of the week and a little bit of a boost here because of some data that was released this morning.
All right, let's take a look at the data first, and then we take a look at what's happening and where we stand for the quarter, the month, and the week. So here we go. A few very interesting data. Let's talk first about the core PCE price index, because that's an index that the Fed likes to take into consideration.
Exactly. So the core PCE price index is what some would say the Fed's favorite or preferred inflation gauge. And this came in lower than expected. We see that last month at the last reading, it was at 0.5% for the month. The forecast for this reading was 0.4%. It actually came in at 0.3%, showing that prices are not rising as fast as they once did. So prices were up 0.3% in February, which was better than expected.
Yeah. And then the next, we have the personal income and the personal spending. And we see that consumers are tightening their belts. Personal income went slightly up, but in the previous months, it went up 0.6%, now only 0.3%. And therefore, consumers are cutting back on personal spending. In the previous months, 2%. It was already expected that they're cutting back a little bit, but then it came in at 0.2%. And that is exactly what the Fed wants, right? Slowing down the economy, slowing down the prices. Hopefully, I mean, in the best case scenario, getting some disinflation. But I mean, we see that inflation is still there, but it is slowing down. And that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, although we didn't see major changes or this huge unexpected move, these ticks down and ticks, a tick down in personal spending, a tick lower in core PCE, that's exactly what the Fed wants. They want people to be tightening up so they're not spending money, causing more inflation, but instead slowing their spending. And this is a positive sign. And it looks like traders embraced it. They like the news and they're happy being long going into the weekend.
Yeah. So let's take a look at a 5-minute chart of the E-mini Nasdaq so that we see what happened during the report. So in overnight trading, at first last night, it seemed that markets wanted to go higher, but then they were skeptical going into the news this morning. So before the report, the Nasdaq actually negative, and then the report was being released. And at first, a very strong reaction to the upside, but then traders thought, okay, wait a minute, is this good or is this bad? So trying to figure out. But then when we saw the actual open, it started just up and away, it seems.
Yeah, a nice little move higher and trading at session highs across the board. This is good. This is what the Fed was wanting.
Yeah. Well, plus then we had another report that was released at 10 o'clock an hour ago. And this was the revised consumer sentiment, but also the inflation expectations. And the inflation expectations, this is where consumers are being asked, okay, what do you think, where will we be in a year from now? This also went down. So while the core PCE price index It's actually measuring what happened. This is looking forward. And so with both pointing downward, that's where the markets this morning are happy.
You can't argue with it. Stocks are higher.
Right. So let's take a look at the Fed Watch tool. And there's still a 50-50 chance that the Fed will raise interest rates or keep it the same. Well, again, with a 50-50 chance, what is there to say? Slightly biased that they will raise interest rates. And this is where looking at the probabilities here. We see, okay, one more raise right now considering, but I mean, this is changing. So pretty much this morning, the report, it was good. Markets are higher. We'll take a look at this. But it didn't reveal anything where traders thought, oh, now we know what the Fed is doing. It was still like, okay, they could probably raise it another 0.25% or they could keep it the same. So no real revelation here this morning.
Agreed. And again, this was a step in the right direction. Good news, what the Fed would want to see. But no huge, huge surprise there. Now traders will be turning their attention to CPI data, PPI data, and next Friday's jobs report as well. So there's definitely some more data to interpret. And if there's a shock or surprise there, that's when we'll probably see the probability shift one way or another.
Yeah. All right. So in a moment, we'll take a look at our positions and what we are doing with these markets, with this information. But yeah, let's talk end of the quarter. And I mean, the S&P is up like 6% for the quarter. The Dow is actually slightly down for the quarter. But the Nasdaq. I mean, after being beaten down last year, really nice quarter for the Nasdaq.
Yeah, what a nice little run. The Nasdaq 100 up 18.5% for the quarter. This actually puts the Nasdaq 100 or sets it up for potentially its best quarter since 2020, right after that pandemic dip where everything was falling. Nasdaq rebounded nicely with some relief that was passed, money that was added to the economy. Not too shabby 3 years later.
Yeah. Surprisingly, also gold has a really good month. Not necessarily a good quarter, but a really good month, on pace for its best month since 2020. And we see that we are still trading around 2,000, but the 2,000 level acts as support right now. Ounce of gold trading at 1993, but definitely over the past few weeks, the bank run and will the financial system collapse gave gold a little bit of a boost here.
Yeah, and so the last time the gold had a strong quarter like it's seeing right now was back in July of 2020, or the last time the monthly gains were this much. And it was interesting because with the higher interest rates and concerns about a recession, there were some investors and traders that were wondering what the heck's going on with gold. Why isn't gold rallying to record highs with this news and data and flight to safety? But a strong dollar kept gold down. And so with the dollar letting up just a little bit, it's given gold an opportunity to take off from here.
Yeah. And I mean, also, Bitcoin cryptocurrencies also right now decisively above 28,000 right now, 28,500 for Bitcoin. Again, attacking these highs, 29,000 at this level. Let's see what happens here today and over the weekend since cryptocurrencies are trading 24/7. So we'll see what happens there. VIX. Want to talk about the VIX for a moment and then we take a look at our positions?
Why not? Why not? So the VIX, aka the fear index, is falling down for the this would be the sixth day straight. No surprise there because of the fear that was brought to the market because of the banking crisis and uncertainty there. Not sure where it was going to lead, but it seems like investors are more confident that it's been isolated, or there isn't there's still risk, but not the dangers and, systematic concern that could be eerily reminiscent of the housing crisis in 2008, 2009. I mean, that's what people were comparing it to originally. And I think at this point, traders are thinking, okay, this is under control. Maybe there's some other risks, but not like 2008, which is a huge plus, of course. And that's why the fear index is continuing to slide.
Honestly, I keep reading this, that everybody says it's under control. But if you look at the chart here of the KRE, the regional banking ETF, we see that it is still trading at these low levels. So traders and investors are still kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. And cautiously, they're not rushing back into regional banks or into banks in general. So it seems that tech stocks are right now getting some love. And here, if you look at this, I mean, I agree with what you said, that many are saying this banking crisis is over, but the chart doesn't tell that story just yet.
And I'm with you there, Marcus. I wonder, and honestly, I haven't looked into this, so this is just pure speculation. I wonder if we still have a lot of shorts, people who sold banks when the crisis was there, profiting from that decline, still sitting on some positions. And if there's just a little bit of a pop, you'll have a short covering rally, right? Because if you sold shares profiting from that decline and then you have to close a position, you need to buy back those shares. So I wonder if we're kind of in this state of equilibrium between people owning shares and shorting, and the shorts haven't really felt the heat yet, wondering if we could get a little more downside. I'd love to see a little bank pop, because we do have PNC. And I think that if we do get that type of move, that you'll see a short covering rally. Because I think there are a decent number of people who are still short banks, hoping for more downside.
Ooh, rumors, conspiracy theory. I love it. Let's start it. No, I mean, absolutely. It's definitely a possibility. And this is why they're right now, not a whole lot of movement just yet. Okay, let's take a look at our positions and see what is happening here. First one, CTRA, Coterra Energy. So yesterday, the dividend payment was deposited into my account, bringing down my break even to now 23.34. The stock is trading at 24.60. That's looking good. Can't sell calls against my my signed price here. I could sell calls at a lower price, but right now, not willing to do that just yet, especially since my break even keeps going down. Very happy with this one here.
Now, are you happy you didn't let those shares get called away at 26?
Well, this morning, yeah. Because the dividend payment was a little bit over $3,000. So yeah, this was like, I like it. Did I like the idea what it was trading at 22.30? No, not at all. So this when, did I regret it then? Yeah, but I mean, this is my decision. That was my decision. And right now I'm just trading this position. And yes, yeah, after you were called away, I mean, this huge, huge drop. So in hindsight, of course, you're the smartest trader there is. There we go. This was your fishing for.
I was just setting you up for that statement there. No, I mean, but all in all honesty, in the end, this could have been the best decision for you to stay with it, right? Because it's still trading and behaving like a very, very good wheel stock, where we have this range, we have strong support. It's, you know, trading between $22.50, $23, and $26. So it could be that what you did was perfect when it's all said and done, because I didn't buy shares at $23 or $22.50, right? If I would have bought shares, if I, you know, let them go at $26 and then I bought at $23, I would have been a genius. So just a partial genius.
Yeah. we'll go with this. We'll go with this. All right. Google. So Google this morning was on a tear, right now pulling a little bit back. But earlier this morning, Google was up, more than 2.5%. I mean, 2.2%, not 2.5% quite. Still up 1.6%. So this is looking good. Again, the 100 holds as support. And right now, it is possible to sell the 100 puts expiring next week. Mark, what do you think about this trade?
You know, for me, like I would feel comfortable if I was in the trade, because It looks like we have this range between maybe 100, 10, 108, 107. So I feel comfortable about the position for anybody that's in it. I think we could get another move higher, and that's exactly what you want and need. But as far as establishing a new position, way, way too high for me. We've seen over the last couple of months, Google finding some support around $85, $86, you know, that 80 to 90 range, or 84 to 90 range. So there's nothing to say that it can't end up back there. If I was to say, are we more likely to drift up towards 105, 106, 107, 108, or back down to 90, I think we're going to drift higher. But establishing a new position at 100, I'm just not a fan of.
I fully agree. Well, I am in a position, so therefore that's not a question for me. I was interested in flying a rescue mission when we were trading down there, not at these levels. That doesn't make sense. So, I mean, for me, my break even at 103.04. Right now we are trading at 102.55. So I'm happy with this position here. So since we're talking about tech and Google, and let's talk about AMD. So AMD... yesterday, great day because of the Micron news, the MU news. Today, a little bit pulling back here, which actually for you is good because you sold calls against your existing positions.
I did. I ended up selling the 103 calls, and I sold those for a dollar. So those are up nicely. Well, for my plan, I want to close at 90% max profit, meaning that if I sell a call for a dollar, I'll close it at 10 cents. One little twist to that plan is that if it's a one-day trade, if I could close those calls in one day for 80% max profit, so in this case, that would be 20 cents, I will do that. I do have an order to close at 20 cents. The low of the day was 25 cents, so we didn't quite get down to 20. Right now it's trading 30 by 31. So we'll see. We'll see. I would love, this might sound a little strange, but I would love to see AMD pull back just a little bit more today, close those calls at 20 cents, have a real nice profit, and then see a nice pop again next week so I could sell those calls again.
Yeah, because you've been selling calls for the last 2 weeks and you made some good money on this. I mean, initially, wasn't it like $2 that you got for the calls that you sold?
Yeah, I think... well, it was 80 cents the first time, and then I think I got $1.25 on the roll up, and then another buck. So we're looking about $3. So in the last 3 weeks, I've been able to bring my break even down $3, which is great.
That's fantastic. And your break even is now, what, around 92, 93 ish?
Yep.
Yeah. Perfect. All right, let's go to PNC Financial Service Group. So right now, today, slightly down 0.11%. And this looks very similar like the regional banking index, KRE. Right now, nobody is ready to jump into banks just yet. But as said, maybe there are some shorts out there. Maybe there will be a short covering, or maybe there's some news that at some point traders say it's really over. Right now it's not reflected in the charts, but I'm comfortable with this position. I'm not too worried about this.
I'm with you. We have a nice range here at this point, so it doesn't look like there's that fear. Hoping that we either get a technical breakout and then some short cover pain, where shorts are now having to buy back shares, and that would just, you know, stimulate a move higher. Otherwise, earnings coming out mid-month. So I think that's another item on the calendar for people who own banks to really be focusing on. And we'll have to see what banks say during earnings.
I agree. So looking at a five-minute chart of the E-mini S&P right now, trading at session high. So still up and away. And if you also look at some technical supports, we are now well trading about the 50-day moving average. We are trading well above the 4,000 level. And do you notice this? Do you see at the 200-day moving average a little dip up? So does this mean that this massive 200-day moving average is finally turning around? I mean, this is like a huge, big cruise ship. But it seems that maybe it's finally turning around, pointing upwards, and then acting as support. What do you think?
Sure. That 200-day curl could be a good thing.
Is this what we should name it now, the 200-day curl? I've never heard that before.
Yes.
But yes, So keep watching out for the 200-day curl. And if there's more that you would like to know about our strategies, there's a few videos. Take a look at this. If you enjoyed today's show, click on like. If you're new to this channel, subscribe. This way you get notified when we go live again, which will be on Monday. So have a great weekend and tune in again on Monday.
Happy trading, everybody.